We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, our guy is back, the White Mamba. That's right, Brian Scalabrine. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, bringing people together around for food. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Brian Scalabrine. What do you say, Scal? Haven't talked to you in a while.
It has been a while, but I'm glad that we get to connect, because I do look forward to these conversations every Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, whatever we make happen. So.
I think we have it down as Wednesday.
Yeah, so listen, so we haven't talked to you at the start of the season. I guess I'm just going to start with Jason Tatum, because it was kind of interesting to see how he would come out after this whole team, really, how they come off the last year NBA Finals loss. But he really has been a different animal. Like, defensively, I think you've said it before, there really aren't too many holes in his game. He might be the best all-around player.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at defense, rebounding, you know, the rim protection, defensive versatility, he's moving the ball. You know, I really like him when he's also with that second unit, because, you know, like, historically, our second unit hasn't been great, and we've tried a lot of different things, and, you know, in the past, and, you know, the team will get a lead, and then next thing you know, the bench would kind of let us down. But when you put Tatum in with those four bench guys, including Brogdon out there, like, it's just, they just go to another level, and it's a real problem for the NBA, because if you at some point can play the starters even, which is hard, then he comes in with that bench group, and he, because of his ability to go to a new level as a scorer, to draw two and the shooters around him, and now his ability to make the right read when he gets to the rim, the Celtics become very dangerous as a team.
So, okay, so as far as the head coach goes, Joe Mazzulla, what were your initial feelings of how this would go with him being named the interim coach? And did he live up to your expectations, or do you think a little bit worse?
No, so you guys, I've known Joe forever. You know, that's how he's been around when I was, when Brad Stevens was around, and I would come in and, you know, go watch him practice, go play pickup. I don't play as much pickup anymore, but go play pickup afterwards. And so I've known him forever. Joe, it'd be irresponsible for me at the beginning of the season for me to say, just because I know Joe and he's a great guy, that I think he's going to do an amazing job. Like, I could think that in my personal life. Like, I thought Joe would do an amazing job, but I wouldn't come out and say that, because, you know, Ime was an amazing coach. He was exactly what this group needed. And Joe was put into a position where we had to grow. And normally you don't see, you know, guys with very little experience get the opportunity to coach a championship level team. But he has like that perfect balance of, he was innovative. He's trying some new things. Like, I love their five out with, you know, they've been doing some things with some cutters, which you haven't seen around the league. And he really preaches ball movement. He's gotten through even more so to Jason and Jalen about them, you know, being the guy, and for them taking that next step. And for you to take that next step, we need you to be playmakers. We need you to be great defensively. And those guys are all on board with that. So I expected him to do well. I just wouldn't come out and say that, because, you know, like, I just thought last year, you know, with Ime, and as good as he was as a coach, from the pedigree that he has from San Antonio to USA basketball to, you know, all the big superstars that he's coached, like, that's the kind of guy that you would expect to come in and make an impact right away. But for Joe, you know, like, I've known him forever. I thought he would do fine, and he has exceeded my expectations. I think their offense is very innovative.
What is his communication style like with most of the team, especially coming off of someone like Ime, who could be a little fiery, or, you know, use some expletives with the team at times and during games from the sidelines? What does Joe bring in terms of communication with the team?
So, like, I get to sit. Sometimes I'm across the court, and sometimes I'm right next to the bench. And I would tell you, I think he's grown tremendously in that category. Like, I don't care who it is coaching their first game. It was going to be tough for you to find your footing, how you work an official, mm-hmm. how you talk to your guys. Like, it just, but he is like, and everyone has a learning curve. I just think that he's learned so much so fast, and he's really like establishing who he is as a coach. And I see it game by game growing more and more. And I know, like, you know, a lot of people ask about why does he not call timeouts and stuff like that. And, you know, I had those conversations with him too, but he's like thinking way ahead. Like, for instance, we have automatic timeouts in the NBA. So what he's doing is he's forcing the hand of the other coach, because like when an automatic timeout happens, you know, all of a sudden they go down to one timeout in the last 2 minutes. So he's doing things that are even like advanced for coaches right now who burn timeouts immediately. He wants his team to kind of grow through that. He trusts those guys. He looks at them when a team goes on a 6-0 run, and he just waves his arms like, let's go. Let's keep going. Like, we're getting good shots. We're playing good defense. Just because they go in doesn't mean I'm going to call timeout and have to discuss it. So I think his communication is like, come on, guys. We can figure this out as players. Like, you guys are players. You guys have been there before. You guys can figure this thing out on the fly. And then when he has to, like the day that we played the Chicago Bulls right from the start, I could tell we had no energy. He burned one really quickly. He's like, no, I'm not putting up with this. So I think he's pretty spot on when it comes to, you know, having the right pulse of a team.
Talking to Brian Scalabrine. And Scal, I don't know where you were with the acquisition of Malcolm Brogdon, but I'm kind of curious, has he exceeded your expectations kind of taking this role as a sixth man?
So I thought he'll be a good player. He always was hurt. So
yeah.
And I had a chance to sit down and talk to him about that, right? And he said, like, my body can't sustain being a 35-minute-a-game guy and being the man. But there are times when, you know, he's playing 19 to 23 minutes, and he's out there, and he's like a number one option. He plays like a number one option. He plays like a go-to guy.
Yeah.
He just does it for 19 minutes versus what he had to do before. And I've heard a lot of players in their day. I've never heard a player describe it like that. For him to say, like, you know, like, I could be a good player. I could be an aggressive player. I probably just can't do it for 30 minutes a night or 35 minutes a night. And so, and like having like an understanding of who you are and admitting that I can't do that for 35 without breaking down, which is probably spot on. He's been great. Like, I never thought that he wasn't going to be a great fit. I just thought, like, when we signed Gallinari and we signed Brogdon, both guys are great signings. And I thought, man, if those guys stay healthy, we're going to be a real problem in the playoffs. But that was like a big if. It's just like the same thing I think about this team with Robert Williams and Al Horford. Al Horford's been pretty amazing, like, as far as the last couple of years. But, I mean, it's sort of responsible for us not to think that at his age that he's going to be able to continue to do this. Now, he might, but it'll be like, it's like kind of like what LeBron's doing, kind of defying time, right? But if I do think that if Brogdon can stay healthy, if Derek White is playing the way he's playing, like, I don't know, like, good luck to the rest of the NBA. Because we're like kind of lapping the field with the way that these guys are playing right now.
So we're talking to Brian Scalabrine now. Listen, just break this down for me and be honest. Like, the whole Luke Cornett contest, whatever the hell they're calling it. Like, can you explain like what that is, why he does it, and do you think it's effective?
I haven't seen a guy make a shot yet on him when he does it. So, like, let me just I'll take you into the eye of a basketball player. Basketball players, they don't think. They use their instincts, right? So when you go up to shoot and you look at the rim, like, your eyes naturally, you know, gauge the distance of where that rim is at. And you don't think about it. You just see it, and your arm, your wrist, or whatever, it, like, goes right to that. So if I know I'm going to shoot a 25-foot shot, the eyes and everything adjust immediately. Sometimes if my feel on the basketball is off, I will adjust, even like maybe I'll use my arm a little bit more. So when you stand out there and you go to shoot and he's right there, all you see is Luke Cornett's face and his arms. You cannot see the rim. You can't. It's not like you're looking at the rim through his arms or anything like that. You literally cannot see the rim. All you see is his face and his arms. He completely blocks out the rim. So with guys now, like, they're going up to shoot. I am praying that Steph Curry has the ball and Luke Cornett tries to do it. And I want to see, like, if even the great Steph Curry can be thrown off by it. But it is a legit thing. And what's happening now is guys.
Other people are doing it.
Yeah, they're just driving the ball. You know what? Immediately what I thought about is Taco Fall. Like, Taco Fall could, instead of having to run out to the guy and get yourself in rotate, Taco Fall could easily learn how to do that. And if, I'm telling you, this could be a thing now. Like, you might start seeing, like, 7-1, 7-2 guys who can't have, don't have the foot speed in the NBA to play start doing this Cornette contest. But so far, I haven't seen one. I'm waiting to see the first guy to make a three over the Cornette contest.
Well, it's an interesting presentation as you watch it on TV. I want to ask you about Rob Williams. Saw some video out today from practice of him scrimmaging with the team. What do you know about the progress that he's making coming back from all these various MCL-related injury rehab stuff? And what is the realistic timeline at this point?
I mean, I'm hearing what everybody else is hearing, so I'm guessing like Christmas will be the time where he'll come right back, and then I don't think he'll get thrown into the starting lineup and play 30 minutes a night. I'm not even sure that he'll play every game coming back. Like, I don't know these things. We have, like, I think there's, like, 20 Australian guys that run around to decide how many minutes everyone plays. Like,
what?
Wait, what do you mean?
Australian?
Why are the Australians infiltrating like, the Celtics?
They all have these heavy Australian accents, and they just go around, and that's what they do. And by the way, really bright, like, you know, big-time degrees and done this in all kinds of places like Australia Rules football or soccer or whatever. And they're all really, really smart. So when people talk about, like, minutes, I talk about, wow, Al Horford's playing a lot of minutes. They're much more dialed in to that kind of stuff. So
why are they Australian?
I think it's like – if I had to guess, they were a little bit ahead of the curve when it comes to sports science. Like, you think about – like, the grueling battle of Australian rules football, it's a combination, right? You're running around. You got fatigue. You got the hits and stuff like that. So they were probably ahead of the curve at time, like, the little advantage that you can find. And it grew into, like, you'll find probably guys from England as well because soccer's ahead of, like, way ahead of us. So we're, like, kind of playing catch-up here with the load management and all the sports science and stuff like that. So – they just, you know, they just happen to be a step ahead of everybody else. So for whatever reason, I don't know why they are. They just are.
Okay.
But they'll decide all that with Rob Williams. And my guess is he'll play, you know, 15 to 20 minutes a night, and he'll get back. And, you know, like, maybe Al Horford will get a couple more nights off and Rob will play. And I think this team will just keep trugging along until the playoffs.
All right, Brian Scalabrine. And Scal, I don't know where you're at. You know, beginning of the season, we start looking at that Eastern Conference. Obviously, Miami's trying to figure it out. Brooklyn, Philadelphia. Cleveland looks like they got a pretty interesting team, but is, I know it's early, but honestly, is, like, the Eastern Conference over? Like, is it Boston versus Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's Boston Milwaukee at this point. But, like, first of all, Giannis is a hard guy to beat. He just is. Like, he's so strong, he's so physical, he's got the will, like, he'll never give up. We saw him in the game 7. The guy was, like, laying on the floor and he was, like, somehow gonna steal and go down and dunk it. Like, he's just a hard guy to beat. They're a very good team. They're strong. They're a physical team. It does seem like we're the best team. So if everyone is healthy, I can't see anybody, like, cracking that. Even though I like Cleveland a lot, I'm like, my goal here with the Celtics would be the number one seed, and they don't have to deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers, which I think is going to be a tough series, even for Milwaukee. I think it would be a tough series for us. I think we would win, but it would be tough. But, yeah, it seems like the NBA is coming down to, like, these two teams. Like, just the Celtics and the Bucks are just, you know, so far ahead of everybody else, it seems like, at this point. But, you know, long season ahead. I can't see the Celtics slowing down. They're on, like, some historic pace offensively. They'll get Rob back. Their defense is getting better. So I can see those two teams. But the one thing that really bothered me last year during the playoffs was the turnovers. And the Celtics turnover rate is way, way, way down. We look like a completely different team that coughed the ball up 25 times against Miami. So, well, as long as we take care of the basketball, it's going to be really tough to beat the Celtics, and then the Bucks series would be amazing.
All right, Scal, yesterday when we announced that you were coming on today, it was right at the end of the USA-Iran soccer game. So we were wondering if you're a soccer guy. Like, we're like, Scal, I wonder if he's a soccer guy. Do you follow the World Cup?
I don't watch pool play, but I'll start watching it. I think this is the last day of pool play, right?
Maybe tomorrow.
I'll start watching when it's, like, you know, elimination and all that stuff. I'm like, I do the same thing with football. Like, I watch the playoffs and stuff like that, but I just don't have enough bandwidth for anything more than basketball. You know, I have to watch all these NBA games. I got kids in AAU. I'm going to AAU practices. Like, my life is basketball. So I'll watch the big stuff, you know, but I'm not watching all the other stuff. Probably in the next 2 weeks, I'll watch and I don't have it. I'm not one of those guys that have an opinion on anything like that either. So
neither do we. Don't worry about it. No problems. Right. U.S. Netherlands though, 10 a.m. Saturday morning. I guess you can watch it in the morning. Wake up.
I could definitely watch that.
All right,
definitely.
Scout. Listen, man, we appreciate it. Love talking to you. Looking forward to talking to you every single week, man. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Sounds good. See ya.
All right, there he is, Brian Scalabrine. Glad to have him back.
Absolutely.
The first of many.
No bandwidth. I like that mentality.
That's what I told you. The dude's basketball.
He also has a serious NBA radio that he does. He coaches his girls on the AAU team because he used to coach when my daughter was there also. But he's obviously traveling all over the place, going to the games. He's coaching. He's doing the games. He's traveling for the games. I mean, he does have a wife, right? I mean, he's got to keep her happy at some point in time too, right?
Yeah.
All that stuff's got to be put together.
It's running around. All these Australians everywhere.
Did he say weird Australians?
I don't know.
I wonder if someone from New Zealand, too.
I think he was saying
they seem like
they're
very fit people.
New Zealand people?
Understand this running thing and conditioning stuff.
How were they ahead? I can't imagine how anyone other than the Americans can be ahead of when it comes
to
physical
fitness.
Oh, no,
they are out there. They're crazy.
The Australians?
Oh, yeah, they're nuts.
Really?
New Zealand.
They're built different.
Crazy
animals they have to run away from.
Yeah, they were first on the acai bowls.
Yeah. And all this, great foods you're eating now, they've been eating it for like 15, 20 years.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, give me something that's new over the last 10 years. You said acai bowl.
They've been eating avocado ice cream for 30
years.
Really? Yeah.
Remember when you were keto for about 20 minutes and they were giggling at you?
Ryan. That was vegan. I was vegan for 20 minutes.
All right, let's do some Pats because.
Finally.
Yeah. You sort of failed the Justin Jefferson test. Let's see. You got Diggs. Oh, gee, I don't know. Then what do you got? You got Devontae Adams. You got Diggs again. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Jamar Chase. Yeah, it's going to be a struggle. You got a big test here. Let's talk about this secondary. Ty Law gave his opinions on what he thinks of them. You hear it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to it. Back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
I know Arkham was just giving you the Patriots injury report. Damian Harris, Isaiah Wynn haven't practiced. They ruled out from this one here. And other guys, Andrews. Still limited. He's questionable as well. And Yannick Ajust is limited. Jacoby Myers, limited. Jalen Mills.
Jeez.
So it's Devontae Parker. He's been removed, so he's ready to go. And on the Buffalo side, it looks like Deion Dawkins. Great tackle. Von Miller, obviously, the great linebacker. So they're going to lose they're both out. They are both out. So that is a interesting dynamic, I think, for the Buffalo Bills. All right, let's get to the Buffalo Bills. And more importantly, the New England Patriots, really, because we're just looking at this. We played the Vikings. We're talking about the quarterback situation. But what about, like, number one wide receivers? Justin Jefferson. Like, I think he's a unicorn, arguably maybe the best in the league.
23-year-old unicorn.
Steph Diggs. DeAndre Hopkins. Devontae Adams. Jamar Chase. Tyreek Hill. Steph Diggs.
I see the theme, Lou.
Those are your last six games.
Yeah.
And there's, by the way, there's also, you know, like Gabe Davis. There's also, Hollywood Brown, the Cardinals, you know, the Raiders.
And Waddle
Nick Collins.
You would add Waddle.
But I'm saying Waddle, T. Higgins, you know, like there's also like Adam Thielen's to go along with the great, you know, wide receiver. So there are some concerns, obviously. I want to play some Ty Law real quick. We'll comment on that afterwards. He was on the Greg Hill show yesterday, actually, talking about the secondary going up against the Minnesota Vikings and how he's disappointed.
Just when I was saying, you know what? These boys can play. This secondary can play. Then you let Justin Jefferson come up there and get 9 catches for 140 yards, whatever it was, and Adam Thielen, 9 catches. Come on. Is somebody going to actually challenge him? You knew where the ball was going, and no one stepped up and said, I'm going to take him, get him at the line of scrimmage. He ain't about to do that today. From when I was there, Asante was there, Darrell Revis, Stephon Gilmore, we ain't about to let somebody come out there and just do whatever they want to do without even trying or challenging them. So I give the secondary, even though they got an interception, mm-hmm. another turnover, which is great, I give their ass a big thumbs down because you don't let somebody go out there and beat your ass like that.
That's a big-ass thumbs down from Ty Law.
Listen, in all fairness.
All right, go ahead.
There's no Gilmore on that sideline. There's no Revis in that backfield. Like, he's expecting these guys to play like, you know, perennial pro bowlers and, you know, the highest paid, you know, corner in the league. Like,
these first half highlights.
The most important player on the team, on the defense. Like, they don't have those guys out there. So he's getting mad at Jalen Mills or, you know, whoever.
Or Jonathan Jones.
Like,
was regarded as one of the best corners in football so far this year.
Okay, listen, he isn't.
We know that.
He's not Revis. He's not Ty Law. He's not any of those guys.
When Revis left, they brought in Malcolm Butler to be the number one corner. No one thought that would work, and it did. He was a number one. They won another Super Bowl. Listen,
the point is mm-hmm. Ty Law is ripping a defensive secondary that is not comparable to him. He's saying, we never would have let those guys make a play on the ball. Well, you know what? Maybe. But these guys aren't you.
You would
man up. You would man up, and you would take a man-to-man. Gilmore would isolate himself and say, I don't care what's going on the other side of the field. I don't care if this guy has 10 yards to the right, 10 yards to the left, if he's playing him to the field. He wouldn't care. That's what he's getting paid to do.
They don't have a lockdown corner.
So why would he be so judgmental of a group that is not capable of even doing that?
They haven't had one since Gilmore. J.C. Jackson was not a lockdown corner. He was a great ball hawk. They have a collection of good, solid corners and really good safeties, and that's the secondary. But it's not comparable to what Ty Law is talking about.
I give their ass a big thumbs down.
I mean, if you play the first part, it is just makes me chuckle. But he's like, the guys that he's listing, you know, Revis,
Hall of Famers. Well, some of the best of the time.
I mean, like, what are we talking about? You know, we would never let those guys do that.
When I was there, Asante was there, Darrell Revis, Stephon Gilmore.
Huh? Who else?
J.C. Jackson.
Who else? Earthwind Moreland. Hey, name me three more of the best cornerbacks ever to play for the Patriots.
Just go out and play like that
just
guy.
Just do it. I mean, it's the Lou Maloney example of, you know, great hitters who can't teach hitting. Like, Ty Law is expecting these guys to play like him and to take one of the premier receivers in the league, young, full of energy, full of skill. Like, when you start like looking at the Minnesota Vikings and Jefferson's records are being compared and he's beating Randy Moss, I would never let Randy Moss do that to me. Yeah, you know what? He probably would.
We ain't about to let somebody come out there and just do whatever they want to do without even trying or challenging them. So,
I mean, come on. Like, what are we talking about? Let's talk apples and apples.
But Foye, they were triple teaming Justin Jefferson. They still couldn't stop him. And that's what freed up everybody else. You got to be worried about
Jefferson.
That.
Well, no, it's but a it, definite concern.
Against Davante Adams and everyone
talking
else.
What he is talking about is being matched up one-on-one. We would never let me individually. I would never let a guy do that to me. He's not talking about team defense. That's a totally different aspect. That's coaching. That's scheme. Hey, I'm going to make sure this guy goes deep. I'm going to play a deep, deep cover two so everything is caught underneath me.
See, this is why.
So he still throws the ball, and it's an unbelievable throw, and it's an unbelievable catch. Tip your cap and move on.
But see, this is why to me, like yesterday, we brought up like the defense and. That's why I thought they were exposed in this game. And it's still, you're 12 games into it, and you're still waiting to see. I don't care if they're number one or number two in DVOA. But like, you looked at Justin Jefferson, and you know, other than like the first week, and even though what you had like in Tua, it was their first game together. Like, Tyreek Hill was a great wide receiver that you have faced. You know, like that. Jalen Waddle, very good group. But Tua was game one, Mike McDaniel system, okay. But all the other good quarterbacks that we talked about that you can't beat, like Lamar Jackson, he doesn't have a number one wide receiver. You know, you didn't beat Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have a number one wide receiver either. You know, like some of the teams, the teams that you lost to, you haven't gone up against like a really good wide receiver with a decent quarterback. So now you got Cousins. So coming down the stretch here, it's Allen with, you know, with Diggs and Gabe Davis. It's, you know, well, Lamar. You I mean, it's not Lamar, but it's Burrow with these guys. It's all yeah. quarterbacks with legit you top receivers in the game.
Week one, that was it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Week one, but I don't know. Week one, it's.
I know. It's like anything.
Like 3 weeks later, they're putting up 35 a game. Week one, they're still sort of feeling out an offense and what the hell they're doing.
Even if I even go back and look at my notes just regarding Jefferson in that game, it was just my jaw hit the floor with some of the catches that he came down with. Like, he's special. He's going to make special plays. I don't care how good you are. And the thing is, like, what I remember from, yeah, you're right.
Devontae.
What I remember from this defense, like, if you can have a guy, you can have a receiver catch, you know, 7 passes for 90 yards, but they can't be impact plays. They can't be, you know, third down, unbelievable drive, you know, like guys that catches that, you know, keep drives alive. Like, you know, I remember like multiple times that they would play against Antonio Brown or all these other receivers, and the receivers would have what they would consider a good game, but there was no damage done. Like, so you sat there and go, all right, big deal. He had like 8 catches for 90 yards. How did he really hurt us, guys? So it wasn't a big third down catch. It wasn't a, like, you know, changing the field position play. What Jefferson was doing was unbelievable.
Do you think the concerns we have with the secondary are going to come out again here in these last 6 games? Remember beginning of the season? They are a liability. Bill Belichick has never had good team without a number one corner. And for the first 8, 9, 10 weeks, whatever, we sat there and said, actually, that was one of the things we got wrong. Their secondary is actually really good. Or was it they were just going up against bad quarterbacks or good quarterbacks without good wide receivers? And now we're going to start to see them actually get exposed. You know, because if you had a number one, if you had Steph Gilmore, Jefferson still would have got his, right? But Steph would have been on him. He still would have got his. But they would have been focused on Thielen. They would have shut him down, shut down Hawkinson. Now they have to give so much attention to Jefferson, and he still goes off, that now Thielen is open, and Hawkinson is open. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, like,
their secondary that we thought was a liability is about to prove themselves.
They are going to make plays. You got to make some too. Like this, listen, Jonathan Jones, back-to-back weeks, he should have had an interception. He couldn't finish it. You know, they get the one interception last week. And I'll say what worries me the most in this situation is not that they can't keep it close. It's not that they can't, you know, keep them, you know, listen, just keep it under wraps. Is the fact that when there's no time left, there's a little bit of time left on the clock, like last week, and Diggs and, you know, Josh Allen sit there and say, okay, I guess we have to make a play now. And then sure enough, Josh Allen rifles it into Diggs. They get the catch, and they kick a field goal, and they win the game. Those are the situations that I worry about. Not the in-game. I'm talking about fourth quarter, you know, 9 minutes left. Got to have a place to keep the drive going. Why? Because if you're the Patriots, what you want to do is make sure they don't ever get the ball back. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if you get a lead, like, how do you manage the clock to make sure not only do you use up all the time, but at the same time, make sure you score? Right? How can you marry those two together where they don't have 23 seconds? Like, that's what you really want to do. This is Peyton Manning-esque all over again. And we used to watch film clip after film clip after film clip of Bill explaining to us, this is why you don't want to give him more opportunities. This is why you don't want to leave any time on the clock. He'll kill you.
Yeah, because Josh Allen can make it happen in 20 seconds. But I also think when we talk about the secondary, since you don't have that lockdown corner and you can't make that team play with one arm tied behind their back, maybe you could in some of these other defenses. I would like to see the defense play to their strengths in the secondary and be opportunistic. I said this yesterday on some of these potential turnovers, because Josh Allen, that is one thing that he may give you. He'll give you a chance. So like these drop picks that we've been seeing from Devin McCourty, from John Jones the last couple weeks, like, it's great that they're getting there, but you have to finish the play if you're going to hang with these types of teams that have these dynamic offenses.
Yeah, and I think when we talked to Orlovsky at 3 o'clock, he kind of hit the nail on the head when we asked him, you know, even though it was a good game offensively for this team, they still struggled in third downs. They still struggled in the red zone. They still struggled in the fourth quarter. And all these guys that you're talking about, like, okay, third down, fourth quarter, inside the red zone, what do you turn to, Jefferson? What do you turn to, Devontae? What do you turn to, Diggs? And he's like, they're never going to be good at third down. And maybe even in the red zone, because they don't have the dudes. Or in the fourth quarter against the Ravens. And you could say, well, who do the Ravens have? Well, they got Lamar Jackson and Andrews. And they kind of just lived with that. Like, so third down, fourth quarter, tight game? Like, how many times in the fourth quarter did Tom Brady only throw the ball to Edelman and Gronk? Like, just go to the guys. Like, I got
and
dudes.
It doesn't matter because you can't cover
yeah,
them.
Like, in the fourth quarter, I'm just going to go to the – by the way, I'm a pig. You know, they're dudes, and we're just – the three of us are going to just take over the game. And the Pats don't have that.
So, well, they don't even have
– is it that simple why they struggle in the red zone, third down, and fourth quarters?
Well, Lou, I think they don't even have the organization, as you pointed out before, of, like, the depth chart of receivers. Like, it was very clear, as you pointed out, Edelman, Gronk – you know, maybe then there'd be one other guy mixed in there.
Right.
But in this, it's like, okay, one game you have Nelson Agholor actually being productive. And then the next game you have Hunter Henry being productive. And Jacoby Myers is always there, but it's not like you have the 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Or even like the 2-3 dependable. Aside from Jacoby Myers and Ramondre Stevenson, it just hasn't looked like Mac Jones has a ton of trust in anyone else on the offense, which is strange given
we'll
the production and the connection that he had with Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne last
year. You just
mentioned
like all those great players, you know, all those games that the Patriots were in, and they just really threw it to two players. Yeah. I'm going to focus on you can bracket Edelman all you want. Eventually, one of these guys is going to be doubled up because you just don't have enough players to cover them all. You can't double two guys. It's not never going to work. So sure enough, you put him in a situation, and that to me he's like, oh, God, like, because you can do whatever you want. You can sit there and say, I'm going to take out Diggs. I'm going to take him out. No way. I'm gonna jam him at the line of scrimmage and then I'll play a guy over the top. So I'm going to trail him and have some coverage. Like, when a quarterback is just dialed into his receiver, and sometimes you can have the perfect defense called. They're just going to win.
And you're playing against those caliber type of players. Like, you get no close game against the Vegas Raiders. They're not good. Look at their last 2 weeks. How did they win? Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs. You know, you play against the Bengals.
Jacobs, like, on 300
yards. Yeah, you play against the Bengals, you know, and you know in the fourth quarter it's going to be Chase, Mixon, Higgins. You know, when you play against the Bills, you know it's going to be Diggs and Josh Allen. And a little side order, Gabe Davis maybe breaks free. Like, all of these teams, it's very predictable. Like, in Miami, it's going to be Tyreek, and that's who they're going to go to. You know, and when you
–
So when we talk about the Patriots not able to win games in the 20s, and struggle in the fourth quarter in the two type of games that they should have won this year, being Baltimore and Minnesota, where they had a chance, come fourth quarter, they don't know where to turn to. In the red zone, they don't know where to turn to. On third and seventh, they're not quite sure. They'll get a couple of them, but it ain't like a go-to thing.
Well, and
they're both the face offenses that have that.
With Ty Law, then he sits there and he says, well, yeah, you know how you counteract that? It's Gilmore with a last-second tip to, you know, get him into the Super Bowl. It's Ty Law baiting a receiver and a quarterback the entire game and finally making him pay for it.
That's top-tier talent.
Like, that's what we're talking. Top of the line. I got a great guy. You got a great guy.
Luke, can we – I know we got a break. When we come back, can we talk about one weapon who is actually very explosive and has totally disappeared along with the rest of his draft class?
Absolutely.
Oh, jeez. You got
we'll
that.
On the way
that wasn't even like a bomb.
That wasn't even
that was
a
like
drum.
Thunder.
Yeah, that was different. What was that?
That was a storm.
That was like a storm's coming.
It's an explosion.
Mego dropping some thunder right now. Let's
Mego's
do it.
Like a hurricane.
We'll dive into it. Was this draft class as good as we once thought? Talk about it next.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Now back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
All right, we're talking about the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills before break. Mego, you brought up something you wanted to talk about here.
Yeah, so I saw a great article from my former coworker Karen Grigian at the Boston Herald. And it was all about Tyquan Thornton, who I was very high on going into the season just because of the explosive speed, something that the offense has been completely lacking for years, really. I mean, like, Jacoby Myers, great, dependable receiver, but doesn't have that dynamic speed that you see with other pass catchers in the league. So she wrote this whole article just about, hey, you know, what happened to Tyquan Thornton going from the beginning of the season. She writes, the rookie receiver who caught four passes for 37 yards and a touchdown during week 6 win over the Cleveland Browns has been on a milk carton ever since. He's had just 4 catches in the 5 games following that Browns game. Against the Vikings on Thanksgiving, he played 20 offensive snaps. He wasn't targeted once. So she's going on about, like, hey, she talks to Troy Brown, the other coaches. They don't really express concern, but it's pretty clear that he hasn't been the X factor that many people were hoping. And then she brought up something that I think is really interesting, because we were heaping all this praise a couple weeks ago about how good this rookie class looked, how they immediately got on the field and were so dynamic and impactful. And she brings this up here. She says, though, like Thornton, Tyquan Thornton, that rookie class as a whole started out well, but many of the others have faded like that receiver. Returner Marcus Jones has been a bright spot as of late, but most of the others have been struggling. First-round pick Cole Strange has been benched and continues to allow pressures and sacks when he's in at left guard. Cornerback Jack Jones has cooled off. Oh, hold on. I just got the page scroll down on me. Quarterback Jack Jones has cooled off both in terms of limiting plays against him and producing turnovers. Running back Pierre Strong, meanwhile, committed a game-changing penalty trying to block a Vikings punt Thursday night. Running back Kevin Harris and defensive lineman Sam Roberts haven't done much. And while quarterback Bailey Zappe had a nice little run with Jones and Brian Hoyerhart, he has returned to backup status. So what happened to this class? I mean, is it just the rookie wall? Because it felt like for the first half of the season, it was like week after week, one of these guys was popping off. We were going, oh, wow, look at Tyquan Thornton. What a beast for a skinny guy. And then you look at Jack Jones, and you're like, Jack Jones, he's a baby J.C. Jackson. Look at him. And then he's like talking crap at the podium. We all love it. What is he like, now you know my name or something like that?
Now I let you know. That was after the interception.
What happened to that?
After these first half highlights.
That was the greatest.
That was him going into that. That was great. When was that?
It was after a win.
It was Packers going into the half.
Oh, that's right.
He had an interception on Aaron Rodgers.
The most impactful, Cole Strange. I mean.
Well, let's start with the top picks, okay? When I look at Cole Strange, obvious regression, struggling.
Well, sir.
Yeah, I know. Like, that to me, and he's played against some pretty good defensive tackles, so that was to be, you know, I kind of figured that eventually that was going to catch up to him, okay? And injuries all up and down the line, and who's coaching him. So I put that together. Tyquan Thornton, I actually didn't even think he was ever going to really get on the field based on how many guys they already had, like, solidified with Aguilar trying to prove something, Bourne trying to prove something, Devontae Parker being added, you know, the Jacoby Myers, and then the two tight ends, and now the back. I really thought it was going to be a long shot for him to kind of integrate himself into the system. So now you're expecting him to be integrated into a system that is flawed. Like, you're a Dan Orlovsky. Like, you know, listen, like, they are who they are. Like, don't expect too much. Don't, like, they just can't beat man coverage. They can't get open. They can't sustain routes, blah, 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 blah. So I think those two guys alone should have been expected. And the rookie wall is real. I don't care who says it isn't. Like, especially if you're Cole Strange, who's basically played every single game. Talking about Thornton, not as much.
Yeah, Cole Strange is a concern. You know, because at least at the beginning of the year, you sat there and said, nobody liked taking a guard in the first round. Like, nobody. But you said, okay, well, at least he's playing right away.
And I thought
early in the year, he was playing well. So you're like, oh, you just didn't notice him. I don't know. You're just like, okay, whatever. He looks like he's fine. You know, Thornton, remember, they rushed him back. Remember, it was like the minute they got him off, they're like, you're in. And then the second game, you mentioned it was like four catches and a touchdown. He actually had a jet sweep in that game touchdown as well. He had a couple carries and ran it. And since then, this goes back to that whole theory of, like, we were talking before about they have too many just blah wide receivers. Like, settle in on three. Like, to me, I've said it for weeks. Like, just Jacoby Myers, Tyquan Thornton. And you figure out whichever third wide receiver. But you try to find out what this guy is. It's just sort of like, I feel like this year is that the same thing for me with Mac. It's not about, like, you know, sneaking into the playoffs. It's about watching Mac Jones progress, do what he did on Thursday, try to get better every single game in situations in the fourth quarter. Same with Thornton. Try to get in the same page with your second-year wide receiver. You drafted him in the second round. Like, yeah, he's not Jamar Chase. You know, he came back the following year with your first-round pick, but still, it's a second-round pick. You drafted this guy to work with Mac Jones.
So, Christian,
see if it works.
Karen points out that the Patriots have been using him more in the slot as opposed to outside in the recent games. She says it hasn't translated into production. He's only been targeted 13 times during the past six games. Is that the right place to put him?
See, I don't know. When you look at his body type, you say, okay, you got to put him on the outside Z or the X, give him lots of space. But when he was drafted, they said that he had that short area quickness, and he could create his own, like, space, like, you know, with those all those routes that Troy Brown ran and all that stuff. And I don't think they perfected that route, so I don't think anyone's going to run it. Like, and I'm talking about the old school Edelman, Wes Welker, Troy Brown, I mean, Ben Coates. They all ran the same route. They don't run it anymore. I mean, Jacoby Myers runs it a little bit, but I don't know where he's going to be best utilized. I don't know. A gimmick wide receiver?
See, when I look at these, like, rookies, I just sort of look at, like, moments and flashes, you know, and I still think you've seen that from Jack Jones. And you've seen it from Marcus Jones. And hopefully he can be more than just a punt returner. Quite frankly, I know, like, I think Six Rings podcast, those guys have talked about it before, Andy Hart, you know, and Fitzy, about, you know, are we going to see him on the other side of the ball ever?
Yeah.
You know, in his career? Like, I mean, as a punt returner, he gets the ball in his hands. He's, like, electric. So it's like, I don't know, is that a guy that we heard him before, like, punt return? Maybe he played a little offense? Did he play wide receiver out in Arizona, or Houston, rather, where he was? So it's like, there's been flashes of those two, the Joneses. You know, and Tyquan Thornton, well, I like to see more. It's hard to flash as a guard. But yeah, well, he was serviceable the first 8 games.
But he was, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't saying, oh, no.
He's graded out. Like, that's all you can look at. Like, really, you look at it all 22, you're going to grade out a guard? Like, people were saying, yeah, he's doing pretty well. Okay, I'll buy it. It's a guard. But the other ones, yeah. Yeah, Zappi, I thought, was fantastic.
I think when veteran defensive tackles know that they're playing against Cole Strange, they relish the opportunity to kind of just be isolated with them.
See exactly what's coming?
What?
See exactly what's coming?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Is Cole Strange tipping the plays or not, Christian?
What do you mean, is he tipping the plays?
You know what I'm Is he tipping back?
I mean, it happens.
Is his body position off?
I don't know. But, I mean,
you haven't seen it?
No, I am not, but it happens. I know there's lots of guys that do it. And you read something to me that someone said that he was doing that, right?
Like, no, so I've heard talk of that.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That he is that part of the reason that there's...
Part of the reason he's struggling?
That, no, that there may be plays being tipped as to what, oh my God, we know exactly what the Patriots offense is doing, might be in part to his body language, which you know is a struggle for linemen.
Oh, no. What do you mean?
How did they know we were going to run?
I'm leaning too far. Yeah, you big dog. I mean, they know you're going to run it, but somebody tell me what to do.
Pa!
Because what do offensive linemen do when they're going to block for the run?
Well, I mean,
naturally,
the hands turn white.
Yeah, that's Rudy.
Naturally, what you do.
But you're wearing gloves now.
Your knuckles turn right.
How do they know, Pa? I'm wearing gloves.
Your right foot's further back when you're running.
It's like you're sprinting. Like, you see those old linemen in, like, the old 40s and 50s videos? Like, they were, like, legit in, like, a sprinter stance. Like, just coming right at you, kind of like Army and Navy. Those guys aren't pass blocking. They just come right at you.
I heard Coach likes Navy.
I was copying them. I thought he'd like it. Give me a high five.
Paul has not been on the field with me.
Oh, man. I can't believe they know what I'm going to do.
Tuning in, we like to think of Cole Strange as talking to David Andrews as like his paw.
Yeah, yeah. And David, his paw has not been out there.
No, paw's not been there.
Well, if paw was here, I wouldn't be so stupid.
I can't judge which way the body's tilting.
Paw was always there to get me right. It's like a mice and men.
Give me a little pat on the butt and say, hey, you're tipping it there, Coley.
Yeah, lean just the back a little bit so that big old defense attack don't know you're going to block him.
Hey, sideline, what a pass. Hey, you got to let him know. Come on, come into it.
Dude, don't even get me going.
Get out of here, Russell Wilson.
Man, has anybody turned into a bigger dope than Russell Wilson?
Did you hear the story about, like, only half of his team went to his birthday party, or less than half, or something like that?
Ciara threw the party, too. His famous wife threw it, and only half the team went.
Was she performing?
Don't know.
That's a pretty crazy party, right? Like, hey, Ciara's going to throw a party. Don't you want to go just to be part of it? Be like, ah, screw that guy.
Yeah, but you mentioned this earlier. You said, like, how the hell do they even know where to go? They can't call him. What if they get lost?
Yeah, they didn't have directions. They tried to call him, and his manager's phone was off because he was at the party. Nobody could find out where it was because nobody can contact the guy.
Weird situation.
He's a weird dude. Yeah. All right, listen, when we come back, I got to dive into this. You guys like theories, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You know, theories, wacky thoughts. Well, I'll tell you what, one local reporter who doesn't normally throw things up against the wall and see if it sticks, starts talking about Brady coming back to New England? We'll let you know who that is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.